From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom, and welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark. Today we have a little bit to talk about. Chiefs made a move over the weekend that really kind of surprised me. I'm sure it surprised a lot of you, and we're going to get into that and what it really means for Kansas City going into this season and what it's going to mean for NFL teams going into the future when it really comes to being able to sign some guys that maybe we didn't expect them to be able to do. When I'm looking at this specific move, I'm talking about DeMarcus Robinson. He will be back in Kansas City moving forward. He will be back for 1 year at this point. He signed for a contract for almost $2.3 million. The first question that you would ask when you're looking at that contract number is, how is Kansas City affording a contract that expensive? The answer is, he is a mid-level exception player for the Chiefs this year. This is a new thing under the CBA where teams are allowed to add a veteran with 4 years of experience at a reduced rate for the cap. So the way this works, you get two players a year that you can do this for. They have to have 4+ years of experience. So obviously, at that point, that is the big key. DeMarcus Robinson has that, so he fits this criteria. Basically, at this point, he is signing a contract for the $2.3 million. To be exact, the number is $2,297,500. Fully guaranteed for Robinson for 2020, so he will be on the Chiefs roster for just under $2.3 million. Here's the big deal, though. He only counts for around $1 million on the Chiefs' salary cap in 2020. That is the reason Kansas City was able to make this move. That is the reason that DeMarcus Robinson is back in Kansas City. What that does show you, though, is that he really didn't have a market. He went out and he tried to get a bigger contract, get a larger number, and he wasn't able to find that market. I still think that Kansas City is going to have to make a move or two to really get some of these moves under the table and to get them back under the salary cap the way that they are. Or maybe they've already done what they need to and they've just rearranged some of their bonuses and stretched them out over a couple of years to free up enough cap space to be able to do the moves that they've done in the past week. But at this point, this is going to be something that could really be a big benefit for Kansas City this year and moving forward. I'm going to be very interested to see if Kansas City uses another mid-level exception on a player. This is a specific different type of mid-level exception. It sounds like you have another situation where you have a guy like Anthony Sherman who's coming back for about the same price as he was last year, about $1 million. And it sounds like you also have the new corner that is coming in for probably around the same price as well. But I can't imagine that they're paying him, you know, like they're paying DeMarcus Robinson. So DeMarcus Robinson is going to be back in Kansas City in 2020. The question is, who else is going to be there? And one of the reasons I think that this is such an interesting scenario for Kansas City, and I have to give credit where credit is due, Pete Sweeney did point this out, and you know, we don't talk about Arrowhead Pride much, but I will give them credit on this. This is something that really I hadn't thought about, but is a very smart move for Kansas City in the fact that they're able to get a guy that already knows their system. He already knows what he is going to be doing in Kansas City. He already knows how they're going to use him, and he can come in and perform. That might be a very big thing going forward. We do not know how the NFL offseason is going to shape out at this point. We do know that the NFL is still talking like they're going to have the NFL draft on the same time that they had had it planned for, and they don't expect to make any changes. I'm going to be surprised if it doesn't get pushed back, but at the same time, if they do it, they do it. But at this situation, when you're bringing in a guy that already knows the system, you don't have to have him in trying to learn, and you are ahead of the curve. With Kansas City and with, you know, most teams that are bringing back most of their coaches, they're going to be ahead of the curve, ahead of teams that are bringing in new coaches this year and new systems this year. So I think Kansas City is going to be in a good situation in that regard. When we get back, we're going to take another look at what this means for the rest of Kansas City Chiefs roster and what else they could do going forward. So where does this leave Kansas City moving forward? With the NFL draft supposedly happening on April 23rd, we will still see whether or not that is going to continue. I do think that it's possible the NFL ends up moving it back, especially considering it has been announced that the stay-at-home suggestion is being moved out to April 30th. So at that point, I do think that it's possible that the NFL is going to move the NFL draft back. I understand why they would want to keep it around the same time. I understand why it would make sense to try to keep it and try to keep your offseason as long as you possibly could. But at this point, I just don't know that it's going to be something that's realistic to be able to keep it then. But what does it really mean for Kansas City? What does it mean for this team moving forward? And what does it mean for an organization who has a very young GM? They do have a lot of very experienced scouts. They do have a very experienced room when you start talking about Andy Reid and Brett Veach. So I'm not worried about that sentiment. But you still sit here and you're like, okay, Kansas City is going to be in a situation where they're going to be going into a draft where they haven't had any of the meetings that they normally would have with some of the prospects. And honestly, that's how they usually get to know a lot of the prospects. That's one of the things that absolutely sold Andy Reid on Patrick Mahomes. And I hate making that type of comparison, but really that's what it comes down to with some players is, you know, when you get a player in and you get to talk to them and you get them on the board and you get to have a feel for what it is that they understand and how much they know about football, you also get an idea for how much they love football at times. And that is one thing that Kansas City has always seemed to try to get is guys that really love playing the game, because that is going to be a big deal moving forward. So to me, when you start looking at what this is going to mean for Kansas City and how they're going to really change what they're going to do in the draft, I think it is going to affect them in multiple different ways. One of the biggest things that we still don't have any clarity on right now is Kansas City says that they want to have Chris Jones back. They want to work on a long-term deal with him. The big key there is if you're going to work out a long-term deal with him, you'd want to get it done before the draft. One of the bigger things is if you're not going to have him in 2020, you want to be able to get a piece in the draft for trading him this year. Now, the problem is that in a situation like last year, when you traded Dee Ford away, you did that right after the beginning of the offseason. And then you get Frank Clark right before the draft happened. So you were able to give up draft capital in 2019 to be able to get that pick. So at this point, you have to wonder, okay, well, is it going to be a same or similar situation this year? Well, it's going to be a little different if they're going to try to trade Chris Jones. I don't think that there's any injury history, really big concern with Chris Jones. But teams that are going to want to pay somebody in a long-term contract, if Kansas City's not able to work something out with him or they want to trade him, that's going to be a big question mark. You're looking at giving somebody $100 million in a very suspect time. You're not going to have the normal ability for the player to go and take a physical with that team. Team facilities are shuttered right now. You're just not able to do that kind of thing. And I get that. That's important for teams to be able to take those precautions right now and players to be able to be protected in that regard. So I understand why they're doing it. I'm not saying that's wrong. But when you look at the situation from last year to this year, it is a very stark difference, and it's going to be a big question mark if you're going to trade a guy like Chris Jones, like maybe Kansas City has wanted to do because they're not going to be able to pay him the $22 million a year that I'm guessing he's going to want on a contract. If you look at the contract that DeForest Buckner got, I would imagine Chris Jones is going to want more money than that. If he wants that, I cannot see Kansas City paying him, even though I would love to see him stay in Kansas City. If that is the case, and if they're going to trade him, it's going to be a little bit more difficult, and you have to wonder if they're going to be able to get the value that they normally would in a year where you were able to do whatever you wanted like any other normal year. At this point, I do think that it is possible that they end up having to keep Chris Jones on the franchise tag this year because they're not able to get a trade done because there are too many moving pieces right now, and there are just too many things that you don't know. Right now, we are less than a month away from the NFL draft, and you have, I don't know how many players that didn't get a chance to have their pro day. You don't have any of the meetings that you're going to normally have with players. You're not going to be able to do physicals with players that had questions at the combine. You're not going to be able to have physicals with players that if you are trying to trade players. So that's another big question mark as well. And Kansas City still has cap space questions that you have to answer. What are you going to do with the cap space that you have? What are you going to do to free up a little bit more cap space to be able to make a move, an extra move or two? Are you going to cut a guy like Sammy Watkins? Are you going to re-sign him to a different contract? At this point, we still don't know what they're going to do in either of those situations. And it's all fluid right now. When you start looking at what signing DeMarcus Robinson may mean to this roster, I think it's actually a benefit because I'm starting to wonder if they're going to be bringing Sammy Watkins back at all. I do think that they would like to get him back, but I don't think that they're going to be able to afford him, especially not at the number that he's getting right now. If he wants to take a huge pay cut, maybe they could afford him. But the problem is even if you don't have Sammy Watkins on your roster in 2020, which we assumed was going to happen in this offseason, you're still going to have $7 million of dead cap space that is counted against the salary cap for him. So even if he was to take a pay cut to maybe $8 million this year, he still technically would almost count for 15% of, or for $15 million on cap space. Can you pay it? Yes. Do you want to? No. With DeMarcus Robinson coming back, I could see a situation in a scenario where they say, okay, well, we would love to have you back, Sammy, for, you know, $5-6 million, maybe $4 million a year. And maybe he would do something like that. I just can't see Watkins wanting to do that after he was paid what he was before. But if he wants to stay in Kansas City, that is maybe a way that it could get done. But with DeMarcus Robinson back in the fold, I really do expect that Kansas City is going to try to be in a scenario where your starting wide receivers are probably going to be Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, and DeMarcus Robinson is your number three. That is not the best scenario for Kansas City. The best scenario would be to able to have all four of those guys back next year. But I just don't think that that's going to be a reality. We're going to have to see how that shakes out in the coming weeks. Obviously, they're going to have to make a move with Sammy Watkins in the coming weeks. That is going to be something that they will be looking at and trying to figure out, okay, when do we have to make this move? And if they do make a move with Sammy Watkins, then maybe they can do a couple more things because they're going to have to figure out some cap space to be able to sign the draft class like we've talked about a little bit already. When we get back, I do want to get a little bit more into the draft and what Kansas City could be looking for there. All right, and welcome back. So what we're looking at, if you're looking at the Chiefs depth chart, I'm surprised they actually have it up right now. They usually take it down during the offseason, but they do have it up. Real quick, from start to finish on offense, you have Tyreek Hill, Eric Fisher, Andrew Wiley, Austin Ryder, LDT, Mitchell Schwartz, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Patrick Mahomes, and Damien Williams. They don't have it updated to include Anthony Sherman, but he is also on the roster right now. So at that point, your wide receivers are Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and Byron Pringle. We now know that DeMarcus Robinson is going to be back, so it's possible that they're going to be making a move at wide receiver at some point in the draft. I do think that it would be smart if they could go and find another young guy that they could put and pair with, or, well, really trio with Hardman and Hill, and maybe go get more of a possession guy that has some speed that would fit this offense and give them another red zone threat. So when you start looking at the defensive side of the ball, you have right now your starting defensive end is Tano Passanio, and then you have Chris Jones, you have Derek Nnadi, Frank Clark, Anthony Hitchens, Damian Wilson, Shavarius Ward, and two missing CBs, which are Breland and Kendall Fuller, and then Daniel Sorensen and Tyrann Mathieu. Obviously, you have a couple of injuries here that will really change things. You're going to have Alex Okafor back. You know, at this point, obviously, Ogba is gone, so he's not going to be back. So that's maybe a position that you would consider. But at the same time, you have Damone Harris from last year. You also have a guy in Breland Speaks that will be coming back. And I really am curious as to how they're going to be using him in that regard. Mike Pinnell is not on this list, but he would be behind Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, and Colin Saunders. So you have to think that Pinnell is going to be in there. If you trade Chris Jones, then you have a question at your defense on your defensive tackle position. But that's something that you can shore up in the draft with maybe a later draft pick. You're not going to be able to replace Chris Jones's type of production with a draft pick this year. That's just the way it's going to go. Then you start looking at your linebackers. Anthony Hitchens is going to be here. Damien Wilson is going to be here. They did pick up his option, which kind of surprised me a little bit, but I get it. At that point, you know, Reggie Ragland is gone. He signed with Detroit, so he is gone. I would expect that Kansas City is going to be looking at the bottom of the first round. If they are still in there at the bottom of the first round, they're going to look to see if any of the linebackers fall. If a linebacker falls, I would not be surprised if Kansas City is going to take them, because it's definitely a position of need for them and definitely something that they need to be looking at to improve for next year. Ben Neiman is obviously going to be a special teams guy. You have Dorian O'Daniel as well. But you really need a third linebacker. You need a guy that can really get sideline to sideline, has the speed, and has the ability to cover. Dream scenario in my mind would be Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray, but I really can't imagine either of those guys are going to be around when the Chiefs pick. I think they would have to move up for both of them and probably pretty far. When you start talking about corner, Bashaud Breeland is still a free agent corner, so it is possible that Kansas City is able to bring him back for a reduced amount, more than he was expecting that he was going to get in free agency, and maybe they're able to get that done. That would be fantastic if they could. I do think that there's a definite possibility Rashad Fenton is going to be your slot corner next year. I think he played pretty well there as a rookie. I think that it's a position that he can get better at and that he can be a better player than he was in 2019. I apologize. And I think that's really going to help them. Daniel Sorensen is a guy that's still going to be here. He's really behind Juan Thornhill, but Thornhill is on the injury report, so he's not being listed right now. Tyrann Mathieu is obviously going to be your other starter, and Armani Watts will be a backup. There are some questions who their backup safeties are going to be. I think Armani Watts is going to be one of them. Daniel Sorensen will be one of them. The question is when is Thornhill going to be able to return? But I do think that Kansas City maybe looks at a safety late in the draft, or maybe they're able to find an undrafted free agent that could come in and start and really benefit this team. If we swing back over to the offensive side of the ball, right now you don't have a swing tackle. Maybe that guy is Jackson Barton, who is pinched in right after Mitchell Schwartz right now. I really don't think that's the direction that you'd want to go with that, but maybe that's the direction Kansas City is planning on going. You were still missing a couple of players. Martinez Rankin isn't on this list because he ended the season on injury reserve. You have Ryan Hunter as a backup. You have Nick Allegretti as a backup. So I think that Allegretti is going to be basically their interior guy. I do think that that's really where they're looking at him for this year, and maybe he's going to have a chance to start. I'm going to be a little surprised if LDT is back in 2020, but with as long as it's been at this point, you have to start wondering if Kansas City is going to keep him. Maybe they're looking at it and saying, okay, well, we weren't able to go get the guy that we really wanted the guy that re-signed with the New Orleans Saints. I apologize, his name's slipping right now. They weren't able to go and get him. Andres Pete, sorry. But maybe they're thinking, okay, well, since we weren't able to go get Pete, we'll keep LDT and we'll, get to a point where it's not going to cost us as much next year, and so it'll be less dead cap space. To me, I think that they need to improve at that position, so I don't like that that's maybe the direction that they would go, but it's possible. We'll have to see how that shakes out. Really, the biggest position of need for me on the offensive side of the ball, other than offensive line, is going to be tight end. Travis Kelce is your tight end. He is really the only player that is going to be playing on a regular basis in Kansas City. Deion Yelder is on this team. Blake Bell went to Dallas, which kind of surprised me, but he did go to Dallas, so he's not going to be back. So maybe Kansas City does look and try to add a tight end. Last year is when I think that they should have gone and tried to get a tight end. There were a ton of them in the NFL draft last year. This year, the crop isn't as good, but I do think that it's possible that you could find a guy that could maybe come in and be that backup for Travis Kelce and really give Kansas City another option that is able to catch the ball in that regard. And don't forget, you have guys, and we'll have to see how it shakes out in training camp if we have training camp this year, or when we have training camp, how John Lovett looks. Lovett was a guy last year that has a lot of ability, or has a lot of physicality is maybe a good word for it, but he also has a lot of agility, and it could be something that they could find there, and maybe Lovett is going to be a tight end on this roster headed forward. That would not shock me. It would surprise me a little bit, but it wouldn't shock me. But I still think Kansas City is going to be looking at tight end during the draft this year, because I think it is a position that they definitely need to get better at. When you start looking at offensive line, Andrew Wiley, I think, can be a solid starter at, really, I think he'd be better at right guard than he was at left guard. But then you have to figure out who's going to play left guard. Maybe it's Martinez Rankin. Maybe Kansas City is going to be looking at drafting somebody. The big question when we start looking at this draft is, what positions are deep? The deepest positions right now in this draft are going to be wide receiver. Running back is pretty deep as well. So those are two positions Kansas City really isn't going to need to draft somebody high in. But it's possible that somebody else is dropped because of those other positions that are very, very stacked at this point. That is going to be it for us today. Ryan's going to be back with you tomorrow, and he's going to talk a little bit more about the draft and what's going on with the Chiefs. Thanks for listening.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.